My thoughts are exactly what Brother Buddy expressed. I thought it was good for us to see Brother Gene up here playing the guitar. If God was not gracious and merciful and healing, we wouldn't have witnessed that, would we? Appreciate that and thankful for what the Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Sister Hunt. Just remember her request. Pray for her family. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Brother Gene. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Bless you, Sister Sherry. Appreciate that. Amen. Bless you, Brother Larry. Amen. Appreciate that. Anyone else? I'd like to call your attention to a very familiar portion of Scripture, I'm sure to everybody, found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with verse 19. Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19, going to read about two men that Jesus spoke about. And I've said this before, and there's a difference of opinions here. If you read after people who have written lectures and commentary and things concerning these verses of Scripture, and there may be, differing views in this way held here among us. Some people consider this to be a parable of Jesus. I personally don't. I believe that he was talking about two men here that actually lived. Some people, as I said, have a difference of opinion in that way. But in Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19, in the words of Jesus while he was on earth, he said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's beginning with verse 19 of Luke chapter 16 and reading through verse 31, the end of the chapter. And I want you to remember this statement, that this was said to this rich man after that the Bible tells us that in hell that he had lift up his eyes. In verse 25, it was said unto him, remember your lifetime. Remember in your lifetime. I want us to go back to and look at some things from where I begin to read. Again, we are told here by the Lord Jesus Christ about two men that were very opposite of one another in this world. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about our upcoming association meeting coming up at the end of this week. And we have an established policy in the association that the brethren that are chosen to write reports on the subjects that are chosen from year to year, if we follow the rules, and sometimes they're not exactly followed, but we are supposed to limit those reports to 1,500 words. And sometimes, you know, when you begin to write about a Bible subject, sometimes 1,500 words is not a lot, but that's a policy that we have in the association. In these verses that I have read before you today, Jesus spoke about 300 words from Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19 through verse 31. There's about 300 words, 299, 300 words, and I mean, he said so much. I mean, we were just told so much in that small amount of words. Jesus here spoke about, and we find in this, these established facts, that every one of us that is born into this world will experience these two things. We will experience our earthly lifetime, and we will experience eternity. Because that's what we are. We are eternal beings. And our lifetime the Bible says, is a vapor, and eternity is forever. Eternity never ends. This rich man, and listen, Jesus used the term rich there, talking about material riches. Jesus also taught, if you want to go to the 12th chapter of Luke, and there is a parable that Jesus spoke there, and there he taught us that true riches are spiritual riches. That true riches are when you're rich toward God. But here, he was referencing a rich man as being somebody that was materially rich. This man looked great outwardly. Listen, he was clothed in the garments of those who were who would be considered royalty. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. Jesus here was speaking about a man that wore the best, that ate the best, that had the best place to sleep, the best place to live from day to day according to the standards of the world. This man experienced fine earthly things. You know, there are so many people today that are so wrapped up in fine earthly things, aren't there? There are so many people that are so concerned about what they look like outwardly. Listen, there are Christian people, I believe, that are far too concerned about outward things. There are Christian people that are far too concerned about how they appear outwardly, about the things that we own outwardly. You know, listen, I think that I know Brother Strode loves this song. I've heard him talk about it several times. We ought to have a desire much greater than this. When we think about the song, "What Will I Leave Behind?" Surely, as Christian people, we ought to have a greater desire when we are gone from this earth and somebody remembers something about us. We certainly ought to have a desire that goes beyond somebody saying, "Well, I remember that person was very stylish." I mean, what vanity if that's the way we're remembered. We ought to be more concerned about what people see from us inside than what they see from us on the outside. This man, he was eating the best, he was wearing the best, and Jesus said that he was a rich man. And the truth is, he had nothing. He had nothing. He, you know, when it comes to true prosperity, he had nothing. Nothing that he had, nothing that was mentioned here was eternal. Nothing that was mentioned about him was everlasting. You know, we are really not told, to be honest, Jesus did not tell us many details about this rich man, did he? But what he told us about him was the most important thing of all. And that's how he stood with the Lord. We don't know what his name was. We don't know how old that he was when he passed from this life. We're not told if he had a wife. We're not told if he had children. We're not told how much land that he may have owned. We're just simply told that there was a rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he ate good. And he drank well. Every day. And Jesus talked about a beggar. and his name was given. He talked about a beggar named Lazarus. And this beggar was laid at the gate of the rich man full of sores. And you know, the scriptures don't really specify in this verse, but I think that it's very much indicated that this was something that was done from day to day. Because the scriptures tell us that the rich man fared sumptuously every day, and it goes right on and talks about Lazarus, the beggar, being laid at his gate. And I believe that's something that happened from day to day. We don't have any indication. In fact, I think if we really look at what we are told here, then we can see that this man that was rich and faring sumptuously every day really didn't show much mercy or really didn't show much love towards this beggar, because obviously he had what was necessary. If he would have chosen to, he could have said, pick that poor man up and put some decent clothes on him and take care of the afflictions of his body, get him some medical attention, and set him at my table and let him eat. But there's no indication that he showed that type of mercy towards Lazarus. Lazarus was just desiring some of his crumbs, just desiring crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Sores all over him, dogs coming around and licking his sores. And I believe that this rich man had very little concern and probably paid very little attention to the fact that this man laid out there every day in that awful shape. Boy, it'd be hard to turn your back on something like that, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be hard to see any human being in that shape, in that type of condition, and just turn your back on them and walk away from them and let them stay in that condition. But it appears to me that that's what was happening here. This beggar was just not receiving much mercy, much loving kindness. But you know what? The Bible tells us that both of these men did something that's appointed to every one of us. You know, I'll tell you what, I believe sometimes, I really do, I don't believe that it escapes our knowledge, because the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 9 and 5 that we are aware of this. The Bible tells us that the living know that they shall die. But I'm going to tell you, I believe sometimes that people get so wrapped up in life, people get so wrapped up in the hustle and bustle of everyday living and just forget about the fact that it is appointed unto man once to die, that we are all just here temporarily, that we have a day that's appointed to us, that we're going to leave this life and we're not going to live here on earth anymore. We're not going to be in this body that we're in anymore. We're going into eternity. And when we do, friends, you can be sure of this. The spiritual state that you enter eternity is the one that you'll stay in. Nothing's going to change after that. If there's going to be any changes made, it's going to take place in this life. This man that seemed to have great wealth in this world, and to me, this kind of kills this thought. There are some people that obviously believe that our eternity can be affected after we leave this world, but friends, it's just not Bible. Just not true. This man, with all that he had in this life, when he got into the eternal realm, he couldn't buy anything. He could not affect his eternal state with all the money, all the power that he possessed in this life. You know why? Because he left it all behind. He didn't have that there. When he entered into eternity, he no longer had all this money. He no longer had all this worldly power, this worldly wealth, this worldly pomp. All of that had been left behind. He stood before the Lord when he entered eternity. He had to face God in the condition that he was in. And obviously, with all that he had done, so many people would look at this man. They would look at the outward appearance of him. They would look at the fact that he had all of this fine clothing, and he had all of this food, and he had all of this property, and they would have looked at him and said, what a successful man that he was. But he wasn't. He wasn't. Lazarus was. Listen, there have been many people pass through this life just maybe not exactly the same, but there have been many people pass through this life like Lazarus. On their vapor journey, on their short journey through life, they actually possess very little of this world. They actually never owned very much. There have been those that passed through this life that were not able. They were never financially able to dress real well. They didn't have fine, fancy, worldly possessions. They passed through this life, many of them living poor and meager lives. But along the way, they did what was the most important. They sought the Lord for the welfare of their soul. And when they died and left this world like Lazarus, they went to heaven, where everything is rich and everything is beautiful. And everything is eternal. And there they abide. And you know what? There's not one of them looking back and saying, oh, I wish I would have had a lot of money. They were content. They were content in this life, and they're certainly content now. Listen. There's too much concern. There's too much concern in the hearts and minds of people about temporal things. There's certainly too much concern in the hearts and minds of lost people about temporal things. Boy, if I look good on the outside, if I'm wearing designer clothes, if I'm driving a fancy car, if I live in a big house, people are going to look at me and they're going to think that I'm a great success, or they think that about themselves, that I've been a great success in this life. As God's people, we're too attracted. We're just too attracted to outward things. To me, and I'll just be brutally honest about it, and I'll not back away from it one bit, but to me, what we read in the 16th chapter of Luke just completely kills this health, wealth, and prosperity preaching, doesn't it? Because here we have an example of a man that had all of these things, and there are people that are out there and they're lying to people and they're deceiving people, and they're telling them that what the Lord Jesus is really concerned about is how well they do in this world, telling people he wants you to have all this money and he wants you to have these fine possessions, and that's the way that Jesus wants to bless your life. Well, here we have a man that Jesus spoke about that had all these things, and he split hell wide open. No. Listen, the Lord came to give us something better than worldly wealth. He came to give us eternal wealth, eternal life. This man, Jesus, told us straightforward, plainly, without hesitation, this man who was rich in this life died and was buried and went to hell. He went to a place of eternal torment, of eternal damnation. And when he got there, he was crying out. When he got there, he was wanting mercy. When he got there and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He wanted mercy. He was willing to settle for just a little bit of mercy. He wasn't begging for everything that he had in this life. He didn't say his prayer there from the depths of a burning hell were not, "Lord, let me fare sumptuously every day. Let me have all the fine drink and the fine food and the fine clothing that I had in the past life on earth." No, he said, "Would you just send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and just cool my tongue? Lord, can I just have a little bit of mercy?" But he didn't get it, did he? He didn't get it. There are people, and we see them every day. Every day. Listen, what Jesus told us here some 2,000 years ago was going on then, and it's going on now. We see them every day. People faring sumptuously on temporal riches. People getting more money than what they need. You know what? I'll tell you what. I believe it's ridiculous. I do. I'll just tell you the honest truth. I believe it's ridiculous that people get paid. I believe it's ridiculous that men get paid the amount of money that they do to play football. I do. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, there are people in the world that they make an unbelievable amount of money and they're not content. They're not satisfied. They've got more than they could possibly need and they're not satisfied. They want more and they want more and they want more. You know what? Because those things don't satisfy. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He did something for me. In 1973, when He saved my soul, that satisfied me. And I've never been thirsty again. And I've never hungered that way again. And I've never felt that condemnation since then. He did something for me that made me content. And I don't worry about having great worldly wealth, because I know what's waiting for me. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. My Father has a place that's beyond comparison that I'm going to go to when this world ends, when my life is over, when this life ends for me. This man, with all that he had in this world, he didn't have that. He didn't have it. I'll tell you what, listen, I'll extend this warning to Christian people because the Bible does it. The Apostle Paul did it. If you don't think he did, read 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you got what you need in this life, which is what the Lord promised us, if you got what you need in this life, you better be content with it. You better be happy with it, because Paul said when people begin to seek beyond that, that they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. Listen, the wealth of this world has ruined many people. It has. It has ruined many people. And this man, really, I mean, he wasn't wealthy because he wasn't rich toward God. He did not have what Lazarus had. He did not have salvation. He didn't have an eternal home. He didn't have riches beyond this life. He had riches that would only be able to be used here, and he died, and he had to leave them all behind. Lazarus left behind all his poverty and all of his sores, and he went to a place where the dogs didn't lick him anymore. He went to a place where he was with God, and when this rich man began to cry out for mercy, this is what he was told: remember your lifetime. Remember your lifetime. You know what? He had the opportunity, didn't he? He had the same opportunity that Lazarus had. We've all got it. God has given it to all of us. We've all got that opportunity to seek the Lord and be saved and have true riches and true prosperity, a home in heaven with life is over. But I'll tell you this, I don't believe this is an isolated circumstance. I believe that everybody that will leave this world without seeking the Lord for salvation, and they'll die lost and in their sin and split hell wide open, they're going to be eternally reminded of the opportunities they had in their lifetime to turn to the Lord and to be saved. But folks, we're going to be gone before long. We're not here long. We're going to be gone. You're going to be gone from this world sooner than you think. It's going to go by quicker than you think, and we'll be gone. What will you have when it comes time to die? I'd like for us to have a song.